Why settle for court jesters when you can have three kings? Here are your hosts, Roy, Javari, and Dan. It's the Three Kangs of the Midway Podcast.
Everybody, welcome to the Three Kings of the Midway Podcast. Or Kangs, depending on your vernacular. Ladies and gentlemen, we got some issues to address in our fan base, man. Mainly, how are you mad about the draft before the draft even happens?
Like, angry.
And I posted a tweet, and one of the tweets like, if the Bears don't pick O-line, the people that want O-line gonna be mad. If the Bears don't pick JSN, the people that want JSN gonna be mad. If the Bears don't go D-line, then the people that wanted the O-line and wanted JSN gonna be mad. If they don't pick neither, they pick a cornerback. Then the people that want everything else, it's just like, oh my God, we got 10 picks. It's more than one round in the draft. You can't address every single thing in one offseason. This ain't Madden.
Right.
I know they got people on YouTube doing Madden one-year rebuilds. Right. It don't work like that.
Right.
Facts. It don't work like that. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I just want people to chill. Chill out, man. Y'all doing too much. You know, as you scroll up and down the timeline, these stupid-ass mock drafts people are doing, like, you're not getting paid to do this at all, you know, and be thinking that they mock draft is the holy grail. Like, what are you doing? Look. It's cool to throw your opinions out there, you know what I'm saying, and everything else. But you got literally grown-ass men that are arguing with other people who were actually in the war room on draft day, which is crazy to me. But, you know, not to say that, you know, that what this person is saying is the holy grail, because, again, they're not attached to the Bears no more. They can only go off of what they got, you know what I'm saying, what they experienced were and read the tea leaves, right? Like everybody right. else. But yeah. to discredit someone else's knowledge who's been there and who's done that when you ain't went as past your damn couch is beyond crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, like, okay, you know, I take Greg's opinion, you know what I'm saying, and his view site, I take that with knowledge, you know what I'm saying. It ain't like now what Greg is saying isn't the holy grail to me, because again, you know, everybody ain't right, you know what I'm saying. So whatever, but to discredit his knowledge and to discredit his insight, saying, you know, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, well, actually he does, because he was paid to do it. So, you know, to see people and agreeing with that, like, wow, like, y'all really crazy, like, for real, all jokes aside. So again, you don't take what one, you know, again, it's all people's opinions and their viewpoints, whatever, you know what I'm saying. It's a reason to draft everybody, you know what I'm saying, for what it's a reason to draft everybody. And I want people to understand that. You know, I had people asking me last week, like, oh, if they don't take JSN, you're gonna be upset. No, I'm not. I don't care, you know what I'm saying. I want who's gonna help us win and who's gonna be a building block. Do I think JSN can help us win? Absolutely. You know, I'm not confident in the other two guys outside of DJ Moore. I'm just not. That's my personal opinion, and I'm entitled to that opinion, you know. But to sit up here and say, oh, well, if we don't grab JSN, oh, this is a tragedy, and Ryan Poles doesn't know what he's doing, and come on, man, that's stupid.
Yeah,
I'm happy with whoever we get at that number 9 pick. Hell, even if it's old stupid ass from Georgia. If he's there and we get him, hell, he can help if he's motivated. Do I believe that he could be a huge risk? Yes. But could he be a huge reward, too? Yes. if he's motivated. But I just think it takes too much handling. But that's not my whatever. Whoever we get at number nine, I'm happy with. Whoever we get in the second round, I'm happy with. Whoever we get in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, I'm happy with. Trust in the process with Ryan Poles, because again, he ain't did nothing to make us believe any different. So slow your roll, folks. Be happy with who we pick up. And if it happens to be your guy, then cool. But if not, be just as equally as happy if it's someone else that they feel is a better fit and an impact player for now.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that I look at when we're going over this stuff and everybody's in the offseason and it's a mass scramble and chaos is ensuing, right? I'm looking at the stuff that I see on Twitter line, on, you know, just Bear fans and even columnists and all of those guys. You know, everybody seems to be just in a tizzy about, you know, who we're going to draft, when we're going to draft them, why we're going to draft them, do they fit this, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's all opinions, man. Everything that we have is opinions. Mm-hmm. Even the scouts.
Right.
Scouts get paid to scout, right? But it's still their opinions on what they see, right? So, you know, what I try to do in this whole process is I look at some of the players. I look at some of the guys that are on the table, guys that I can see that the Bears can feasibly get their hands on, right? I'm not looking at, why would I pay attention to quarterbacks? We don't need one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not breaking down film of no quarterbacks. Now, I do look at film of defensive linemen, offensive linemen. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that. I do look at film of a couple of running backs. You know what I mean? That could be had later on in the draft. Stuff like that. But it's all feasible stuff. You know, a lot of these people are doing mock drafts and they're going off the names of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll look at the mock draft and it's like eight trade downs in the first round. It's like, come on, like, who's, you know, how's that possible? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the only way it's possible is on some type of artificial intelligence, you know, type thing or game or whatever, generator, you know what I mean? Whatever you want to call it. It's not feasible. It's not something that'll work in real life. So I try not to get bogged down with that type of stuff. And I just look at, you know, what guys are bringing to the table. You look at some of the guys and you say, okay, we need defensive linemen. We need offensive linemen. You know, we need this piece. We need that piece. And where are these pieces going in the draft? You know, a long time ago, way at the beginning of this whole process, way back on senior day, I spoke to scouts and I base what I get off of, you know, what these scouts may tell me, what somebody else may tell me, because they're well-versed at it, right? I'm learning the process of it, right? So as I learn it and as I take pointers from them, I'm looking at what they said. They told me at the beginning, on a senior bowl, that the wide receiver classroom is dead. It's not that good. You know, and I was throwing out names to the dude, and he's like, nah. And he had, like, everybody I was throwing out, and I'm like, okay. So the wide receiver class, what's it looking like? He said, you got maybe one or two in the top. You know, and in the top round, and then it's a dramatic fall off from there, right? And it's hit or miss. It's going to be hit or miss. Maybe somebody will step up. Probably not, though. So you're looking at the wide receiver class, and now I get reports, and I'm looking at stuff, and it's like JSN is the only wide receiver that's really slated to go, you know, in the first round almost. Everybody else is like second rounders. So it's like, okay, what they was telling me months ago, back in January, is actually true. You see what I'm saying?
Which makes sense why the trades were made for the Bears.
Exactly.
The Claypool and the DJ Moore trade. Yeah.
Exactly. So when I look at that situation, I'm like, okay, so because of that, that's why Poles made these deals. That's why he made the trades, because he saw this even before that senior draft in January, because they're scouting all year long, right? So it's plenty of stuff that they know that we don't know. So, you know, when I look at somebody and I see these tweets out there, like Poles is doing this, he does some things right, but he does some things bad. Both can be true. It's nothing but somebody hedging their bets. That's what you call that. It's somebody saying, you know what, I'm gonna leave myself a way out. I'm gonna say he doesn't do everything right, so that if things don't go the way I want it to go, I can say, look, I told y'all, Poles been on that BS. You know what I'm saying? But then if it goes well, then you can sit back and say, well, yeah, Poles has been, he's been doing this, that, and the third. And I'm looking at it from, what has he done wrong? You know what I mean? Because if you look at the wide receiver class and what it's looking like right now, those trades make a lot of sense right now for Claypool and for my man DJ Moore. Yeah. So to me, he's been doing things right. I'm going to lean upon that. I was happy with the draft last year. I was happy with what he did in free agency. He's been open and honest, more open than any other GM that the Bears have had in recent history, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't get this type of information or interviews even. I mean, he did an interview the other day with Charles Tillman and Roman Harper. You know what I'm saying? Ryan Pace wasn't doing that. Yeah. Pace was hiding behind doors. You know what I mean? Peeking around the corner.
You know what I mean? The only time you would be able to get a conversation out of Ryan Pace is the end of the season, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That was it.
Pretty much. Never talked after that. So, you know, I look at this situation, I'm just like, okay, let the dude work, man. He's been doing things right. You know, let's see what he got. Let's see what he got up his sleeve, man. Because as of right now, he's doing everything. Everything seems to be going okay.
So. Yeah, man. The thing with Pose, man, is that it ain't everybody, right? I think a lot of people, majority of the people, are either cool with what he's doing or cautiously optimistic, right? You just got this section from jump.
So they Dr. Fauci now.
Yeah, they Dr. Fauci.
Cautiously optimistic, right?
Yeah. Then you got this group, they just automatically off the bat, they just didn't like him. Because, and it's like they're heroin addicts, bro. It's like Pace got people so addicted to trading all their draft picks, moving up in the draft, overpaying for overwatched free agents, and it's like they're addicted to it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You'd be like, well, we need to just sign a right tackle. I'd be like, dude, that right tackle is bad. And he's going to get overpaid. I mean, seriously, you might as well just put Larry Borum out there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's on a rookie deal. You're going to get the same production. Whoever, you pay some dude $10 million to do what Larry Borum can do on this fifth round draft pick thing. Or Alex Leatherwood. The people say, well, we need this. We got, no, you don't. You got two young guys right now. They can go in and be serviceable. You know what I mean? So why the hell are you paying somebody $10 million? But their brains can't even compute. They just so used to, I spent money on something, so that means I did something. It's like they're confusing overactivity as progress. Activity doesn't mean progress. You can try to work out and just jump up and throw your hands in there and your ass is going to be tired. You ain't accomplished nothing. You tired. You did a bunch of movement. You know, so it just seems like he's more pragmatic, and like some of these people, they don't understand it. You know what I mean? They just like, why is he? Oh, he's going to do this. Because the man knows. The man's know I got a top 10 draft pick. The defensive line is deep in this class. I got 10 picks. My team ain't ready to Super Bowl contend this year, because that's when people, when I say this team isn't ready to contend, people don't understand what I'm trying to say. They think contention is winning 9-10 games. No, bro. Contention is you can go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Get there, you can win it. That's his stand. He's not from Kansas City. This, he ain't Ryan Pace. He ain't trying to go 12-4 and get knocked out by the backup Nick Foles in the wild card of the playoff. That ain't his standard. That's your standard.
Mm-hmm.
The defense that won't let Ms. Ryan Pace, that's your standard. Your standard is 2018 Bears. His standard ain't that. His standard is the 2019 Kansas City Chiefs.
Shoot, their standard is 2021 Bears.
2020, yeah, you know?
drove in the first round.
With an 8-8
record.
Yeah, that's their standard. He's not building the team for that. He's trying to build the team. He said it for sustained success. This is what I wanted from the GM, so I can't complain. I wanted my GM to create a team that was going to be good for several years. Not this good every 7 years shit. Good for several years. You know what I mean? And to do that, you have to make sure you don't go wild on the cap. You have to have draft picks, because what's going to happen is people are going to have to start getting paid, right? And you can't sign everybody. So how you do that is that you have draft picks. You just keep drafting a bunch of players. And when one guy leaves, it don't matter. We got another draft pick coming up, or we got a draft pick. We got 12 draft picks next year, and we're gonna draft this replacement. That's what good teams do. That's what the Kansas City Chiefs let Tyreek Hill walk. They still won the Super Bowl. Why? because they kept drafting and developing, and they had the cap space to go out and sign guys like Juju, the MVS, and guys like that, and then they could draft Pacheco, and then they could draft Sky Moore. They just kept keep replacing talent. That's what good teams do. If you pay attention, the only mainstays in like teams that have like sustained success, the GM, the head coach, and the quarterback. Everybody else is interchangeable parts. Everybody, like Big Ben and Mike Tomlin, that's what they did. You go back to the before the Seahawks traded Russ, it was the same thing. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. It's the same thing. Same thing with Kansas City. Everybody else is interchangeable. Everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's trying to do. And people like brains just like can't compute this shit. It's like they can't get it.
The biggest difference to me is look at what Ryan Pace did, right? He was putting band-aids over stuff and trading away draft picks and things like that, right? So I think, you know, it's something nuts. Like since 2017, the Bears have had one first round draft pick. That is Justin Fields. Everything else was traded away. I think it's since 2018, the Bears have had, this is the first year that the Bears have third round draft picks, I believe. Since 2018, I think.
That's crazy. Something like that.
So, you know, when you look at that, he was just giving away draft picks. Ryan Poles is accumulating for draft picks, right? And what I tell people is this. In football, it's different from basketball. You can draft one guy and he can dynamically change your whole entire franchise and where they're going, right? The stratosphere, right? He can take you from here to there, right? Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony. I mean, he turned the team around 30 games in 1 year, right? Yeah. As a rookie in Denver, right? So you can have that type of impact on a basketball team because it's 5-on-5 and you play both ends of the court, right? Mm. But in football, you have three teams in one. And then you have smaller teams or groupings of positional players amongst those teams, right? So mm-hmm. everybody got to be in unison and everybody got to work on the same accord. And in football, you can have maybe a dynamic quarterback and he can change the franchise and things like that, but you still need pieces around him to win. You mm-hmm. still need protection. You still need weapons. You still need somebody for him to get the ball to. All of those things factor in. So when I look at the draft, I'm looking at the draft and I'm saying, and I believe Poles is probably thinking the same thing. This is just my observing from a distance, right? We got a lot of holes. There's a lot of holes. So we need to accumulate as much talent that we can and plug all of these holes with good players, right? And that's what he's doing. And then you find your really top-notch players, you put them pieces in there, and then your team takes off, right? And that's what he's doing, man. You got to plug these positions. If I got, you know... 7 draft picks or you know, that's why you accumulate these draft picks. Look at Detroit. They traded back. They're accumulating draft picks. They got 2 first round picks this year. They got 2 next year.
They had 2 the year before. They drafted Hutchinson and Jameson Williams.
Yeah, that's how they're building their roster. And he's doing the same thing in the draft. He's going to build his roster. He's going to plug the little holes, but it's not going to be crazy free agents. So these people that are clamoring for these, you know, yeah, pay them whatever they want, man. It just don't make sense to do that.
No.
It don't make sense to do that.
In all honesty, that's just what it is. But see, I don't think people really truly understand the process of how this thing works. Again, you know, I keep reiterating, I say 90% of our fan base don't know shit about football. And I'm just being honest, you know. And then, you know, outside of the 85 Bears, Super Bowl shuffle, Walter Payton, they don't know much. They don't know much, you know. They get liquored up. They watch the games. They go to Soldier Field. Rah-rah, shish goomba, bear down, you know, T formation, whatever. And that's the honest to God truth, you know. And they think that everything is supposed to be fixed overnight, and it don't work that way. Will, you put out a tweet saying that, you know, you stated from the beginning that this will be a 3-year rebuild. And that is the honest to God truth. This will be a 3-year rebuild. We are in year 2. going into year two. So I'm not expecting much out of this Bears team. I'm not expecting a play. I'm probably the best I'm expecting is us to contend, and that's it, and compete. That's it. It's going to be fun watching, but we're not going to win a lot of games. So when people sit up here and say, oh, well, you know, we got the Carolina pick, that's going to be a top five. No, I don't think so, because this team won seven games with duct tape, barbed wire, and chewing gum at quarterback last year. Seven games and a weak division at that. Mm-hmm. A weak division. And they got a little better. You know, they acquired some pieces and whatever. So their pick probably be a top 10 pick, you know, but a top five, I don't slow your brakes. You know what I'm saying?
Us, it might be. I think it might be.
It might be. You know, us.
I say top 12. It at least probably be.
Yeah,
be
top 12. Top 12. So, yeah. But still, you look at it from this standpoint, you got us and you got them next year moving into the draft, which could possibly be two picks in the top 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's the honest to God truth, folks. So if you sitting here thinking, oh, the Bears are going to go seven and, you know, or excuse me, you thinking the Bears are going to go 10, be a 10 win team? Nah. I say scale back expectations. I get his team six.
Yeah.
I give us to
double
up.
From what they did. Yeah, that's double.
You know, and actually to be competitive. You know what I'm saying? We're going to lose a lot of games, but it's going to be similar to last year. We're going to lose a lot of games on the last possession. That's the honest to God truth. So I give us six wins, seven tops, seven, you know, and next year after that, you know, going into the third year of the rebuild. Okay. Boom. You know, and then you see, the thing is that you want to see progress year after year after year. That tells you that your roster is getting better and better and better. As Dan stated, we have a lot of holes to fill. So if we go from 3 to 6, I'll take that. If we go from 6 to 10, I'll take that. We go from 10 to 14. I'll take that, because that shows that your program and your team is built foundationally the right way. You're doing the right things in the draft. You're doing the right things in free agency. You're putting pieces around that one piece. That's your cog, which is Justin Fields. You got that one piece, just like y'all stated earlier. It's one piece on every team that the team builds around. Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson before he was traded away. You know, look at out there in Buffalo, you know, Josh Allen. They're building around one player. Look at Cincinnati. They're building around Joe Burrow. And now you're able to compete for year one, year two, year three, year four, year five. That shit they did in Cincinnati, folks, it can happen. This is the league where you can go from worst to first in one season, but it ain't common. Mm-hmm. It's not common. But but it can happen.
It can happen. And it's happened, like, what? I gave the stat, I think, last year, 10 times in 10 years.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, all of the teams that are in the league, it doesn't happen. Just, it's not like it's just 8 or 9 teams rise up every single year.
Right.
You may have 1 or 2 that turn themselves around, become decent. You know what I mean? It's still a growing process, right?
Yeah.
This is what I challenge Bear fans, right? This is it. And I read an article this week, and it's talking about fans, right? It's talking about this Journal of Servicing Marketing, right? So it's like, basically, how do you cater to fan bases, right? There are 5 types of fans. Check this out. There are temporary fans.
Mm-hmm.
They just go, whoever's winning, I'm a fan of that squad. People that was Warriors fans now all of a sudden become, you know, Sacramento Kings fans, right? You know what I mean? Stuff like that. You got local. Wherever you live, I'm a fan of that squad. It doesn't matter if you move, you can move from Chicago to Arizona. Now I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan.
Yeah,
I'm locally there.
Right? I know people from the East Coast out here that are Laker fans. I'm like, bro, exactly. You grew up in New Jersey.
Exactly, right?
You're
right?
Knicks fan.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a Knicks fan.
Then you got people like us. I believe like us three, and then there's some other people that I know. And they're devoted fans. They're devoted to the team. They like the team. They want to see the team do well. No matter where you go, we want to see the Bears succeed, right? You got fanatical fans who are like, paint their chest and be outside in cold weather with no shirt on.
Nuts.
That's the fanatical fans, right?
Yeah.
Now you have, what, 70% of Bear fans are, in my opinion, right? Some of these people are dysfunctional Bears fans.
Yeah.
That's what we call it. Because, and when I say dysfunctional because, and I'm not trying to shoot shots at nobody. Please don't take it that way. I'm just being honest. There are people out here that in order to push their narrative, they want to see the Bears do bad because I don't like Ryan Poles. Because I don't like him. I want to see him fail. So you'd rather your team, that's dysfunctional, bro.
Yeah.
You want your team to do bad because you don't like this man? For what reason? You know what I'm saying? Or you don't like Justin Fields, so I want to see him suck. That moves my narrative. That pushes my narrative. Mm-hmm. I don't think he can throw the ball. He's more of a running back, right? Same thing that Lamar Jackson is dealing with in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So that's the dysfunctional fans that I see. And maybe it's not 70%, but
yeah,
I come across a lot of them.
They just allow.
Let's say 25%. Yeah, they're the loudest.
What about those who didn't know a damn thing about Kevin Warren? Oh, this is a terrible hire. He's this like, damn. Do you even know who you're talking about? Like this man is the most sought after brain in the NFL. Are you serious right now? Oh, this is terrible. He sucks, they're not gonna do it. And then. We start dropping nuggets like, okay, well, he was the reason for this, that, this, and this. You know, he got this built, got that done, did this, set the record for this, also did this. Oh, yeah, he's amazing. Yeah. This is hired.
They were trying to say he had beef with Justin Fields over the COVID thing.
Oh, my God. Man.
It was like, me and Justin Fields are like, we good, dog. We got a good relationship.
The first thing he did when he came in there is gave him a hug. Like this my homie, man. What y'all talking about?
He's gonna cancel Justin Fields' games. I heard somebody say.
Yeah.
What?
These people are crazy.
He's gonna start canceling Bears games because he doesn't like Justin Fields.
Man, people are crazy.
All because Justin Fields took a stand for him against one. He wanted to play football. Like what, man? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. People just it's the time of the all season where people argue themselves in the corner, man. They literally argue. Like you can be like. They can be just debating linemen. And next thing you know, if they pick a lineman in the first round, but we still need a center. And, but we ain't going to get one of this. Like, it's like, bro.
The offensive line is still terrible. Well, they picked up a solid piece in Nate Davis. God, he sucks.
And if anybody listens to actually what he says, like I said, he did that interview with Charles Tillman. He said in there's so many ways that we can, you know, move the needle and get guys in here. There's a draft that's going to happen. There's still free agency that's going on right now.
Yeah.
There's going to be people that get cut.
June 1st cuts.
Yeah. There's going to be, you know, post June 1st cuts. There's going to be all kinds of stuff that will make you that'll give you an option or ability to make your team better. So just relax, people. Just take it easy. Let's see what happens, man. And sure enough, you know, like I said, I study some of these guys and we put out our views of who is going to be good or, you know, oh yeah, I like what he does here. I like what he does there. But at the end of the day, man, we ain't experts, man. We just doing this, man.
Yeah. You got to understand these guys are talking to their coaches. They're talking to their teachers. They're talking to their teammates. They got practice tape. Mm-hmm. We're watching breakdowns on YouTube, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I ain't no offensive lineman. I look at an offensive lineman and say, did this dude get his ass kicked or not? And that's basically what I depend on. Like, I ain't no offensive lineman. They know, they kind of understand. They talk, they sitting with the coaches asking, what is he supposed to do right here? Mm-hmm. He's supposed to do this. He did it? Yes. That's how they do it. We're not doing that, dude. Like, even with I'm going to say this, even with the Jalen Carter situation, we don't know. If you're an NFL, you're a billion-dollar organization, I'm telling you right now, they are hiring investigators, people that work for the FBI, CIA, Homicide Detectives, for LAPD, and these guys are doing thorough investigation. They're talking to their middle school teachers, bro. Was he aggressive in class? Did he turn in his turkey project from the fifth grade, you know, with little fingers on it? Like, they're doing deep. We're not doing that. We're just seeing news clippings from TV and, you know, they're talking to their mom, they're talking to their aunt, they're talking to their coaches, they're talking to the youth pastor. Yeah. We're not doing all that. So you just got to understand, man, that these guys are a billion-dollar organization. And the one thing I'll say about Poles, man, is that he's thorough. I don't know if people saw the 19-20 football drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got all these analytics people. They got numbers on the board, Justin Fields pitcher and how fast he's running and his heart rate and all this shit. Like, these dudes are, like, thorough. And one thing I've seen, they're investigating, like, every offensive tackle in the NFL draft. They're not just saying, oh, like Paul Pace would say, oh, I like these two guys and I'm going to just spend all my time. He is investigating every single – every week I see some offensive lineman, the Bears have scouts down. The Bears had a man for a visit. The Bears had his pro day. Five people, front row. They are thorough. They are going through everybody. This is not like, oh, I got this one guy and I like him and I just want to trade up and I'll do whatever. They are looking at everyone. So – when I sit back and I see these dudes, I'm just like, hey, man, I'm going to let them do their thing. They obviously know more than me. I ain't going to sit here and act like this is some Ryan Pace shit where they just picked a guy like Mr. Trubisky and they just fell in love with him and they ignored Deshaun Watson and they didn't even have him in for a visit. That ain't how Ryan Poles does business. Even if he don't want to talk, draft you, he going to talk to your ass. He going to talk to you. Ryan Pace, I want Mr. Trubisky. I ain't even talking to Deshaun Watson. You think Ryan Poles would have done it? Ryan Poles would have talked to Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Mitch Trubisky, Deshaun Kizer, Dobbs.
Everybody.
Right.
Nate Peterman. Like, he would have talked to everybody, dude.
But see, that's your job. That's his job. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's a dereliction of duty, in my opinion, on Ryan Pace. But you can see this guy paying attention to detail, you know, detail-oriented, you know, meticulous with what he's doing. And I like that. I like that about what he's doing, right? Are we going to agree with everything? Absolutely not. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's why he gets paid for it. You know, and then at a later date, we can sit back and we can say, hey, you made the right decision or you dropped the ball on this one.
And that's that. I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, to think that this past draft, let me just back up a little bit. The draft before this one, you know, for him to do his due diligence and to be as thorough as he was to take a fifth rounder and make him an all rookie team member.
Mm-hmm.
You had to have been doing some type of research to know that his measurables and his skill set was feasible enough. When people was freaking out about, you know, oh, the Bears don't have a left tackle. Oh, they're going to they don't have a pick in the first round. And then they go DB, you know, they go DB twice in the second round. And what are they doing when this person is supposed to be here and that person? And the person that he picked in the fifth round was better than every offensive else. Tackle that was drafted that year.
Exactly. And both those DBs are starters.
Exactly. So when I tell people to relax, and you know, what, like we started out the show, and we, you know, we tell people to relax. I trust one of the places that I trust wholeheartedly. Wouldn't even think twice for Ryan Poles to make a pick. We don't have to go offensive line with the 9 pick, folks. I don't trust. Why? Because if there's somebody that can help in another position that he can pick at 9. That could be a solid piece and be a blue chip, blue level player, as he liked to say. And then he can go and get another blue level player in the second, third, fourth, fifth round to be the right tackle or the left tackle. Why not? Because he's done it before. So that is my least worry, is offensive line. I know he's going to fill that out in the draft regardless. So I'm not worried about that. And y'all shouldn't be worried about it either.
I'm glad we broached this topic because I'm worried about the offensive line because I think it needs attention to detail, but more so than the offensive line is defensive line, right?
Defensive line sucks.
that's my nightmare right there. I need how are we gonna, you know, I don't know how you're gonna fix it, but I know he's gonna do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you gonna do? You know what I mean? And I don't see options that will give you the wherewithal to get 3 or 4 players, which is what you really need on that defensive line.
Well, you know,
I think you might get a couple.
Yeah, some will be filled this year, some will be filled next year. Yeah. I mean, you know, but it is what it is. We got to take your lumps, you know.
Yeah.
You just like Jordan, you know. Hell, it wasn't all peaches and cream for him when he started out, you know what I'm saying? You start out getting your ass whooped. And in order to give an ass whooping, you got to know how to take an ass whooping. As the saying goes, you got to bring some ass to get some ass. So you're going to start out getting your ass whooped, but it's okay. It's okay. Justin Fields is getting his ass whooped right now, just like Jordan was getting his ass whooped. And then at some point in time, you ain't going to be able to whoop his ass no more. He going to be whooping ass for for a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, like Isaiah, you know, you scroll up and down the timeline, you see Isaiah talking all day, every day about, you know what I'm saying, the Pistons and the Bad Boys and everything else. And, you know, deservedly so, you know what I'm saying, because, again, they should have been the first team that three-peated. I give them his props for that. You know, they got cheated out of a third title. Whatever. Cool. But the thing was, it said, you know, the thing is with Mike, he was always the little brother that you used to beat up on until you couldn't beat up on him no more.
Hold on, hold on. You said cheated out of the third title?
Yeah, they got cheated, bro. It was by they got who? Cheated out of a third. They should have been the first team to three-peat. They got cheated out of the 88 title against the Lakers, where they called the Phantom Foul on Kareem. What they called the Phantom Foul on Kareem.
So you're talking about, okay, I just wanted to make sure, because I know we getting into Bulls. We ain't on. But yeah, I'm looking at it, I'm like, hold on.
Yeah, you think about the 90, the 89.
No. They got cheated in the 88.
That wasn't no cheat job at all.
Yeah, they got cheated in the 88. They got cheated in the 88 against the Lakers, where they called a phantom foul for Kareem against Bill Laimbeer. But, you know, as Isaiah stated, you know, he was like, you know, you beat up, just like, you know, you having a little brother that he's getting better by playing against the big brother all day, every day, and his homeboys, but y'all kicking his ass. But then it gets to the point where, you know, you just going out there like, oh, I'm about to go beat up on little brother again, and little brother dusting your ass like, damn, I can't beat this motherfucker no more. I can't beat him no more. And that's the process that Justin Fields is going to go through and that he's going through right now. He's getting beat up right now, but it's going to come a point where you ain't going to be able to beat on him no more. And he's going to be the one handing out the beatings. And that's just the way it's going to be.
This is my thing, what I think the Bears are going to do. And this is just me reading tea leaves, right? I don't have any inside sources. Right. Ryan Poles ain't sending me no text messages telling me what he's doing. Right? I'm looking at the way the draft breaks down. Like, the thing about the offensive line is, I mean, because I think we didn't have a first round pick. So you can't, when you don't have a first round pick, you can't force the issue. I think now the Bears are in a better position to force the issue, because if you look at the offensive line, it's five guys that should be going the first round. It's Paris Johnson, Broderick Jones, Peter Skoronski, Darnell Wright, and Anton Harrison out of five guys. And then there's a drop. There's guys who have traits and stuff like that, Bergerson and guys like that in the second, third round that can go. And I think you got to evaluate them, because you never know what's going to happen. Because I think the Bears really like Jalen Carter. And I think if Jalen Carter there or not, bro, they're going to pick him. I do. I know people don't like his purpose, but I just think they think this dude going to be the next Warren Sapp. That's what they think. So if they got a chance to get Warren Sapp in this defense, they're going to pick him. That's my opinion. But it's a chance that he's not going to be there. And you're going to have your choice of these five tackles who you can plug in day one. They all fit the system. They all got the skills. They all got all this, the traits that Ryan Poles, they RAS scores off the chain. And then you just boom. For the most part, the line is fixed. And I think they're going to try to address off the defensive line in the second and third round. But it won't be up to the level, in my opinion, that it needs to be a championship contender. Because that's what, you know, you got a solid guy in Justin Jones. They got Andrew Billings. He's solid, more of a run stuffer. They went out and signed DeMarcus Walker. He's solid. You know, they just signed Rasheem Green, solid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Solid guys, but not like, this ain't the 2018 Bears defensive line with Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman, just ass kickers. All to win a championship, you got to have ass kickers on those lines. And I think you have to choose. If you end up getting a good tackle, and then you come back and you draft a center in the second or third round, and you got Davis and you got Tevin Jenkins and Braxton Jones, you have the workings of an ass kicking. I mean, you talking about that line has the potential to be top five. They're young, they're athletic, and they have years to go. You have a chance to build a good offense, not just, okay, they all right, we can live with them. I'm talking about you have a chance to build a young, athletic offensive line that can dominate games, that you can literally run the ball 20 times. Justin Fields can sit back there patting the ball, waiting for Darnell Mooney and DJ Moore and Chase Claypool and Komet to come open, and he ain't getting touched. You might not be able to do that with the defensive line. You might have to revisit that next year, right? Because you still have cap space, because whatever we have, I'm explaining this, whatever cap space we don't have this year, folks, rolls over into next year. So we have $30 million, That $30 million rolls over into next year on top of what we have. So I don't think people understand that. They think cap space and cash flow are two different things, right? Cap rolls over into next year. And now you have two first round draft picks, right? With a ton of money. So now you can say, this is the year we're going to, maybe there's a Khalil Mack on the board. Maybe there's a Von Miller and you got a top 10 draft pick. You can go out and draft him. You can go out and then your second pick now, if you need one of the wide receivers, you use the other first round draft pick because the wide receiver is supposed to be a class, supposed to be better next year. Now you use one of those draft picks, get a wide receiver, get an edge rusher, a bona fide edge rusher that's going to come in year one, Joey Bosa type shit. He comes in, Nick Bosa comes in year one, get you 10 sacks.
TJ Watt. Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? So that's the point of having draft picks and capital. You might not be able to figure. You may be able to make the defensive line solid,
right?
But you might not be able to make them spectacular. And at the same time, you got to, in the second round, you can't just pigeonhole yourself into, I got to. What if there's a wide receiver that drops to you? What if there's a cornerback that drops to you? What if there's, you know, whatever? What if there's a center? What if there's a center that you think might be an all-pro center standing at your pick 53? You pick them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we just got to understand like what's going on. So they may be, and to me, when they start signing these solid veteran guys like Billings and Walker and Green, to me, that told me they like the defensive line, we might just be able to make okay. The fact that they haven't gone out and signed a veteran to play right tackle, and they got the young guys just sitting there. To me, I'm reading tea leaves. I'm thinking like they like three or four of these tackles, and they know they're gonna have their pick of them in the first round. That's just what I'm thinking. Because like three or four quarterbacks are gonna go in the first nine picks, in the first eight picks. Because you're gonna have CJ Stroud,
Bryce Young.
And maybe have Richardson.
And maybe, I think maybe the Lions, I really have a serious feeling that the Lions is gonna take Richardson. With that first pick they got.
If the Colts don't take them, the Colts might take them at four.
You know, Colts, man, they won't leave us, man. You know, that's they prototype, bro. You know, they, without saying it, you know, they're going to take – leave us as they prototype.
Quarterback.
Man.
You know, well, somebody's supposed to be trying to move up to three.
Yeah, yep. See? And it may be the Colts. It may be the Raiders. It may be, you know, a lot of people. I mean, I'm pretty sure it'd probably be Vegas who's trying to move up.
Yeah. You know, so that's four quarterbacks. Yeah. If four quarterbacks go before pick nine, that means only four skill position players is going to be picked. You know, Will Anderson is going to be one of them. Mm-hmm. So now you got three guys that are going to be off the board by the time you pick. You know what I mean? I think Atlanta probably going to be who just traded up. But we'll see, dude. But you may have your pick, whoever you like at tackle on offensive line. Mm-hmm. And as far as like the draft boards, most draft boards, I don't have a draft board, but most draft boards that I go to, they have like three or four of those guys all within, they're either between 7 and 11 on the draft boards, like Paris Johnson, Broderick Jones, Skronsky. Some people have Wright, Harrison. They always have those guys and clustered in between like 7 and 12. So the need lines up with the value. So I'm like, that's what I just think. I think they're going to go tackle. I think they're gonna go offensive tackle. Unless Jalen Carter is just sitting on the board. If Jalen Carter's sitting on the board, I think they're gonna draft.
Y'all think it's any opportunity or chance that they trade down? I mean, because there was a report that I saw yesterday that Pittsburgh was looking to trade up to possibly get the Bears spotted at nine.
I can see it.
I mean, I can see them trading down again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can see it. I can see that.
Let's say, okay, if they love Jalen Carter. I don't love Jalen Carter. I'm just going to be real.
I don't either.
You know, I'm going to emphasize that I don't believe that let me be clear. Jalen Carter is a good football player, mm-hmm. and he's solid, right? And he's so solid as a football player that nobody's going to make him look bad or embarrass him, run him over, push him around in the middle. He just ain't that type of dude. He's not soft in that regard, right? But his motor is low to where I don't feel like he gives his all, his best effort consistently on the football field.
He gotta get
You know what I mean? And that's the other thing is, you know, through this process, there's been some things that to me are red flags. showing up to your pro day 9 pounds heavier 7 days after the combine. That's a problem for me. You know, the other problem is
quit the drills. Like, fuck this. I'm finna go lay down.
Laying down in the middle of the end zone, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me, that it don't look good. And then here's the third thing, and this came out a few days ago, where, you know, he said, I'm not talking to anybody outside the top 10.
10 picks. Like, wow, crazy.
That's,
I don't know if that was Drew Rosenhaus or if that was just him, but that's crazy as hell.
Yeah, but I think that was Drew Rosenhaus.
Even Drew Rosenhaus doing that, though. I mean, maybe you're trying to drum up interest in him or whatever, and that's cool. But if you say, I'm not taking any interviews from anybody that's outside nuts. The top 10, what if somebody from 15 wanted to slide up to get you at 9 or 10? You see what I'm saying? Now you've dissed them, you've shunned them. So now how likely are they to drive to slide up and try to grab you?
Hey, I agree with all that. And with all that saying, I think if his ass at 9, the Bears pick him.
They might take him. They might take him.
And I would do it.
He just seemed like a head case.
I'm just gonna be real. I don't think he does.
They too soft.
I don't think he does above and beyond what some other guys are doing, right? I think the Bears can easily trade down if they want to. Yeah. They could trade down. You know, if he's not there, they can trade down. If they're in love with him, so be it. Whatever. We'll talk about it. You know what I mean? I'm sure going forward. But if he's not there and they say, okay, what are we going to do now? Do we draft an offensive lineman? I think I would rather them trade down. And I'm going to throw the name out there again. I think Brian Breesy is a guy that you could play. He's played everything along the defensive line, from 7 technique defensive end to 0 tech nose tackle. He's played every position on the defensive line. So you know, you got a 6'5", 305-pound dude in Brian Breesy, who's athletic, who has some of the stuff that Jalen Carter has. Now, his problem is he had that ACL injury, right? So that dropped him down a little bit. But I think he could be had in the teens. So if you move down, you can grab him. And then in the second round, I would go after offensive lineman in the second round. That's what I would do.
I think they're going to end up drafting a tackle. Ultimately, that's what I think. I don't even think Jalen Collins is going to be there when they pick. Somebody's going to take him, dude.
Whoever takes him, I'm going to tell you right now.
They're going
to
take that risk.
This is honest to God truth. Whoever do take him better have some handlers to deal with him. Because if you don't, it's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, you're gonna have to babysit him. And it could be a situation like Tyrann Mathieu, right? He had a ton of red flags and issues. But when he got to the pros, he was with Patrick Peterson. He kind of put his arm around him and held him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Got him together. And you really never heard no big problems out of Tyrann Mathieu. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it could be a situation like that. You know, if he gets around the right people that can help him, you know what I mean, and things like that. But, you know, I just want somebody with that work ethic, man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
To me, it seemed like you don't have it.
I want an offensive tackle. Y'all already know what I want.
I feel you.
I think they should come back in the second round. They want one of those second round picks. I don't know. They draft board and draft the center, because I know they got Cody White here in that. Even if the guy don't start right away, to learn the system and be ready. And then to me, if you got bookend tackles, you got
what they doing with Lucas Patrick now.
He's probably a reserve, like, period. Which is fine, because that's what he did in Green Bay. He basically can play right guard, left guard, and center. To me,
you throw him in there.
Super sub. That's fine. Larry Burns, your swing tackle.
Right.
Alex Leatherwood can play inside and out on the right side. So I feel okay with depth. So I'm fine with that. And then Cody White, shit, you can keep him. You don't need to cut him. You don't need to. I mean, maybe he lets you do him a favor because he's a veteran. He'll find a starting job. But I think you should do that. In my opinion, you just solidify the damn offensive line. Because if you got both guards, you got Davis and you got Jenkins, and you draft the center and you got two young tackles. To me, I'm talking about legitimately, you talking about you may have the Philadelphia Eagles type of offensive line. You know what I mean? Like, you may have a top 5 offensive line. And you got good. You got
if
three
they
goals.
Come together, they got to stay healthy. They got to come together.
Yeah, but I'm saying potentially, you have put Justin Fields in a position. He had 3 legitimate receivers, 2 legitimate tight ends, 2 legitimate running backs. You have a solid off because offensive line makes it go, bro. Like, none of this shit matters, bro. Like, like the running game was good. I don't think people really understood how bad the fucking offensive line when it came to the passing game. That's why they didn't throw the ball that much. People were like, well, the passing offense was this. The pass, it wasn't even just the wide receiver. Well, all the wide receivers were fucking hurt. We were playing with Equanimee and Sate Brown and Dante Pettis was most of the year, because even Mooney was hurt. Case Playboy didn't know the damn playbook. He was only here like
He got hurt too.
And he got hurt. And we damn sure didn't have anybody on the level of DJ Moore. The only person he basically had was Cole Kmet and fucking sometimes
Mooney.
Khalil Herbert. Well, Mooney wasn't even here most of it. Mooney played like 9 games.
All right.
Yeah, so he didn't even have Mooney. Yeah, he didn't even have Mooney. I mean, he had a couple good games, but shit. So like, you got to get the offensive line situated if you really want Justin Fields to do his thing, So the offense might be able to carry the defense. If you solidify the offensive line, you know, defense can be 20th ranked. They need to be better than 32nd, but they but if they 20th ranked and your offense is top 10, you might be able to, you still ain't a contender. You might be able to win a few games.
Yeah.
You know?
The only problem is that defensive line affects everything on the defensive side of the ball. So if the defensive line can't get after the quarterback, you're gonna have a situation where, and Bears fans, once again, some of them being dysfunctional as they are, don't understand that the defensive line not applying pressure means the secondary has to hold up for 10 seconds while somebody pats the ball. And guys just run around and you got to chase guys for 8 to 10 seconds and they're not going to keep up. It doesn't matter how good you are. Gordon, he's going to get burnt sometime because, you know, you just can't do that. It's not possible in this league. So, you know,
that's some good guys.
Be prepared for that. If you go that route and you say, you know, let's let the offense carry us, be prepared for, it's going to be high scoring affairs. Let's put it that way.
But I'll say this, the defensive lineman, and you said, like, you saw this during the combine, is deeper than offensive line.
It is.
Yeah, there's guys in the second round like Keon White that you can plug in at 3-tech, the dude from Northwestern, I can't pronounce his name, you know.
Even Foskey.
Foskey's an edge rusher. Yeah.
And he can go in the second round sometimes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he can. The dude from Kansas State, it's a couple guys that you can get in the second, third round that can. And the defensive line is a little bit easier to play because it's, especially in our system, it's rush the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. They rush the quarterback. They stop the run on the way to the quarterback. This is simple. The Bears' defensive line is simple. It's go get the quarterback. And if the running back get the ball, go get his ass. See ball, get ball. So you can get, I think you can get guys in the second and third round and just, you just need to rush. As far as offensive line, they got to fit a certain mold. They got to have fit a certain type of body type. They got to have certain athleticism. And those guys are unicorns. You don't. Like, we found Bryce Jones in the fifth round, bro. You consider yourself lucky because that shit ain't normal.
It don't happen like that.
The only reason why we found him in the fifth round because he played for that shitty-ass college that won, like, 2 games.
Right.
That was some scouting right there because that team he was on was garbage.
Utah State.
That team. No, it wasn't even Utah State. It was, like, Utah Southern or some shit.
Yeah, Southern Utah.
That was a scouting job right
Southern
there.
Southern Utah because, Central State.
Yeah, because if he played for Kentucky, his ass would have went at least in the second round. Just for any SEC team. South Carolina. Trash ass SEC team. He would have went in the second round at least. But since he played for Southern Utah, and they won like 2 games.
Southern Utah Central State University.
Yeah, nobody's watching that tape. Nobody's watching that nasty ass tape.
Get the fuck out of here.
You watching that tape looking at the quarterback like, bro, I was watching Peter Skronsky.
Right.
And that man, no Northwestern quarterback was booty butt cheeks, bro. Every play that motherfucker is belling from the pocket. As soon as he got the ball, he was just running to his right.
Trash.
Peter Skronsky out there pancaking motherfuckers, dude. He's out there running, throwing hospital balls, dude. That was horrible tape. Terrible, man. That's all I got.
I think we're good, man.
Yeah, that's all we got for this week, folks. Y'all chill the hell out, man. Stop jumping on. Look. Stay out the medicine cabinet. Stay off the ledge.
Unless you need the medicine.
Yeah.
Right. Some of y'all need the medicine.
For real.
Some of us all need medicine sometimes.
Go to the medicine cabinet and eat the pills.
If you need to, if you truly need to function
normally. But people, get off suicide watch, man. It ain't the end of the world, okay?
Right.
Let Ryan Poles do his thing, man. Let him cook.
Yeah, let him work this stuff out, man. We gonna see how it goes. We gonna see what happens. You know, it's a lot to be said about what he's done and your track record, your resume speaks for itself, right? Mm-hmm. So nobody can deny that he's had a nice run of decisions that he's made so far, right? He's acknowledged, you know, and been an open book as well. So, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That's something that that you could put, you know, hold your, you know, put your hat on to as well, or tip your hat to, I should say. Let's just wait and see what happens, man. We're going to have a lot to talk about. And trust me, Bears Twitter will be in shambles around the draft time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's going to be chaos ensuing.
All the right? smoke screens, bro, that's going to be coming out. It's already starting.
Yeah, it's going to be funny.
Yeah, it's already started. Bears linked to this person. Bears linked to that person. Bears said they're going to do this. Bears told this guy if he's there at 9, they're going to pick him. That's what I'm saying. It's like, you don't know what's real. And half the time, these teams be giving people, even with blue check marks, information just so they can put it out there, just so they can fucking create a smoke screen.
That's right. It.
Right.
They can be lying their ass off. Yep. And they focus on this. Like, they focus on these three players. And they go to, so just chill, man. It's like, enjoy this shit. I've been telling people, enjoy it. People are like not allowing themselves to enjoy what's happening right now. Just enjoy it. Have realistic expectations and enjoy it, man. That's all I got.
That's it, man. We good. We appreciate y'all for following us.
Thank y'all for rocking with us. Appreciate like, subscribe.
That. Yeah, exactly. Like, subscribe, and tune in. All of
interact.
That.
Yes, sir. Other than that, we out.
Peace.